And I do appreciate the opportunity that you guys are giving to us as first-year students at the Bible Institute there to present God's Word before you today. And if you'll be turning over in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, that's where we will be beginning this morning. The book of Matthew in chapter 5. In verse 14 beginning, we'll go ahead and read this verse. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So the topic this morning is on the Christian and the Christian's responsibility as being the light of the world. And so this idea is probably, or this verse is probably very familiar to us. Matthew chapter 5, there in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus gives this, what many have called the greatest sermon, and that is certainly not an understatement, but Jesus talks about our responsibility to be the light of the world. And we use light every day in our lives. And we understand this function of light in our lives. If it was always night out, it would be a lot harder to get things done, wouldn't it? If you wanted to go outside and mow the lawn, it's a lot harder to mow the lawn in the night than it is in the day. So we all are able to understand this work of the light in our lives. And we are able to work in it. We are able to maybe do our hobbies in it or our whatever we like to do in our spare time. So that's something that we're able to understand, and we understand that function. The Bible says that we must be lights to the world. So we must be showing that same type of light to the world so that others can see God. So what does the light do, though? That's the first thing that we really want to look at, is what light does. The light exposes darkness. It eliminates darkness. It removes darkness. We all know that light and dark are opposites of each other. And what you've probably all heard, light is the absence of darkness. So whenever you turn on a flashlight, then it removes the darkness, because darkness has no light. The light, your flashlight puts that light out there. So there is no light in the darkness, and there's no darkness in light. If you consider with me Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says that we are not supposed to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5 in more in just a little bit. But Ephesians chapter 5, we also are to have no fellowship. We're not to be associating with the darkness. And that's kind of what I think of, what I thought of whenever I was going through this sermon. There is no darkness in light. So if we are to be lights, then we're not supposed to have darkness in us. And we all know that is something that the Bible talks about, that we are supposed to be striving to be perfect. Now, of course, we do make mistakes and we do sin, but we have that ability to repent and make those right. But we are supposed to be striving for not sinning. The light makes that darkness, it makes that darkness clear, it exposes that. Now if you will turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 5, we will read a few verses out of Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 12, Paul says, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." So the dark works of the world, the sinful works, are shown to be evil by the light. Ephesians chapter 5, as we just read. This to make manifest, if you look this up in a dictionary, it means readily perceived by the senses and especially by the sense of sight. And a synonym is obvious. If you look that up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it says, so that idea of making something able to be seen, making something able to be perceived or known. And if you look in there in the Greek also, it does talk about that idea of being exposed. So that's what we're doing. It says there again, verse 13, all things that are exposed are made manifest, are made clear by the light. So those unfruitful works of darkness, they are shown to be evil. Mark chapter 4, another thing to consider with the light. Mark chapter 4 and verse 21, if you'll turn there with me. Mark chapter 4 and verse 21, beginning. Jesus says, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. So the light exposes, it reveals those works of darkness. It makes them light, it makes them clear, so that people can see that those are actually the evil things. By the good, the evil is shown. So all can see it too. We know that all can see the light. They're from Matthew chapter 5, excuse me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. If you'll turn back over there with me, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So we are not to be hidden. We cannot be hidden. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says that we are a city that is set on a hill. That city that is set on a hill, that would have been something that would have been common back then. We know Jerusalem itself was actually on a hill. And that city, you can't hide it because it's above everything else. You can see it from miles around because it's up there invisible. And that's what we're supposed to be also. We're supposed to be visible to the world because of our good works that we're doing. So we also must, Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, it uses that example of light again. It says that, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. That all, we're supposed to shine our light to all around us, so that all can see that light. So we're supposed to be that city set on a hill, that light that is shining to all, so that all can see us. Not that we are going to get the glory, but so that God gets the glory there, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. The glory is to God, not to us, but our good works will glorify God. So the question that we must be asking ourselves this morning is, can we all see our light? We know that we must be able to be seen so that God gets the glory, so we must ask ourselves, can we be seen? That is a necessary thing that we must consider in our lives, because otherwise we might fall into the darkness. We might start looking like the world, and we won't be that city that is set on a hill. We won't be that light to the darkness. But who is the light of the world? Well, specifically, Christians are the light of the world. There, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus, talking to his followers, says that you are the light of the world. Well, we know that we must be the lights of the world also. The light and the darkness. I've used this example in some of my sermons before, but one time I was writing a sermon, and it took me a day or two to complete because I was also going through other homework and all. But I was outside, and I love taking care of my cows. I love cows, and you know, that's something that I just love doing that. But I was outside at night at our barn. I looked up into the sky, and it was clear. And up there in the darkness, there were stars. And I thought, that's a perfect example of what we are supposed to be as Christians. That light in the middle of the black sky, those little spots of light, that's what each of us are supposed to be, shining our light to the world. And so that idea has really stuck with me ever since then, because we're not God, but we're supposed to be lights to the world. That is important. So Christians, that is us, are supposed to be that light. If you turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, and we'll be beginning in verse 5. Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. Paul says, For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. So Paul is actually showing this light in this verse, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. He was a good example among them. If you'll turn over with me to the book of 1 John now. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Probably also a very familiar verse to us. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, we see here that God is light. He says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him, that is God, and declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." So God is light, as we see, and in Him is no darkness, just as we're supposed to be striving to have no darkness in us. Of course, we do sin. God never sins. God cannot sin. But God is light. He is purely light, completely light. And we are supposed to be striving to be like Him. There is no darkness in Him. We are striving to be like Christ, or like God. And Jesus, as we know, is God. Jesus was God in the flesh whenever He came to this earth. If you'll turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, again, Paul writing to the Corinthian brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, probably a familiar verse to us, Paul says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." So Paul is being an example, he's being that light, and he is imitating Christ, and we are supposed to be striving to imitate Christ. So Paul telling the Corinthian brethren to follow his example, because if they follow his example, then they will look like Christ. If you'll turn over with me to Ephesians now in chapter 5, verse 1 again. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." So we, as we're striving to imitate God, are striving to be light, striving to have our actions and our works done in such a way that we look like God, that we are those lights to the world. So, but not just a Christian. You see, you can be a Christian and then fall away, and that's not a good thing. Then you're no longer being a light to the world. Or you can fall into some sin, and then you have to come out of that. You have to return to being that light to the world, maybe in your workplace. If you start acting like the world, then you will no longer be that light to the world. So specifically, faithful Christians are the light to the world. We must obey and be lights. There's, as Peter was talking about, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, if you'll turn over there with me, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, Peter says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." So Peter is talking about heeding or listening to or obeying the words that have been commanded to them. And that is what we also must do today. We also must heed and obey those words that are commanded to us. Ephesians chapter 5 again, we'll be returning here a few times. Ephesians chapter 5, this time beginning in verse 8, we'll read, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." So we were once darkness, we were once sinful, now children of light. We are supposed to walk as children of light, trying to be lights to the world. If we are supposed to be following God, then we're supposed to be obeying God. We're supposed to be walking as His children. If you think about that example that we probably heard so often, that example of a father and a son. You know, the son imitates the father, and they look like the father. You were talking about how I looked like T-Roy, right? Well, we probably both look like our dad. And so, at least in some ways. Now, I won't tell you who's taller because that would be me and T-Roy. But that's something that we probably look and carry ourselves in a very similar way to our dad. And that's probably more visible to other people than that is to us. But we as faithful Christians striving to follow God will look like God whenever we obey Him, whenever we obey His commands. So we must practice righteousness there in Ephesians chapter 5 to have that light, to be followers of God. If you'll back up there with me to the verses just preceding that in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them." So we see contrasted here, bad behaviors, a bad example, and then the good behaviors of obeying God. We're supposed to walk in love, but we are not supposed to commit these sins here, as it talks about fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking. Those are things that we're not supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be walking in love and following God. There's verse 1 there, chapter 5. It says to be imitators of God. That's not following after these sinful things. So we cannot be living in sin to be a light to the world, because then we look just like the world. We're not that city that is set on a hill. People see us and they just see another part of the world. But we're supposed to be that light. So what does it mean? We must know what it means to be this light of the world. And as we know in our lives, and as we've already talked about, to obey God. But furthermore, there, Matthew chapter 5 again, verse 14, it says that we cannot be hidden. And so we know that we can't be striving to hide our light. We're supposed to give it to all. Matthew chapter 5, there, verse 15. Again, it says that you do not hide a lamp under a basket. So you don't try to do some good works and then try to cover them up and make yourself look like the world still. That's not being a light, because nobody can see it then. If I lit a candle and I put it under a basket, then nobody can see it. Maybe it's a dark room. Maybe you've got one night while I was doing homework at home, it was really stormy out. It was a couple months ago, and the power went out. I couldn't do work in the darkness. So what did I do? I lit a lamp. We have some oil lamps around our house that we keep around just in case the power goes out. And so we lit a lamp, and I did homework by lamplight, and that was actually kind of neat. But if I took that and I put a basket over it or a 5-gallon bucket, could I see the light? No. Could I use the light? I couldn't. It would maybe be giving light inside the bucket, but I can't actually use it and I can't see it. So we can't be hiding our light like that. We must be putting it on a lampstand or on some designated spot so that all can see it. It gives light to all in the house. And this is whenever we are obedient to God, as we saw there in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. So we cannot hide our light. Another verse that says the same idea is in Luke chapter 11 and verse 33, where Jesus says the same idea about not hiding our light, not putting it under a basket. We should not conceal those good works that we are doing. And that's how the world sees Christ, is by the good works that we do. We're not trying to do good works to be seen by men, but to glorify God. Our good works must be seen. So is our light visible? That's the next question to ask ourselves this morning. Is our light visible to the world? Or are we hiding it? Because we cannot be hiding it. So how to be lights is another idea, though. We know that we must be lights. We know that we must be seen. We know that we can't hide it, that we must be those good examples to the world. But how are we to show our lights to the world? Our light comes from God. Jesus gives light to us. John chapter 12 and verse 46, Jesus is talking about him bringing the light. Oh, and obedience to God gives us light. In Acts chapter 26, verses 17 through 19, if you'll turn with me over there, Acts chapter 26, verses 17 through 18, Paul is talking about his conversion. And we're not converted in the same way as Paul, where we have a light shine around us. But I want you to specifically note what Paul is talking about whenever he is talking about his ministry here. Paul says, and this is Jesus speaking to Paul, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So Paul's ministry, he says, to turn the people from darkness to light, from sin to obeying God, from Satan there, he says, to God. So that's the purpose of the ministry, to turn people to God. The Gentiles, specifically here, from following sin to doing right, to obeying God, and then they can be lights also to the world. And that's the light that we are called to walk in. God has called us out of darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, if you'll turn over there with me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So Jesus calls us out of darkness ourselves and into light. And that's what God is wanting all people to do. God wants all people to repent. And we're supposed to be, as children of God, walking in the light, those lights also to the world, showing God to the world. So that command again, to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify God, so that we can shine our light and bring people to God. And that is the whole purpose, and again, as we've already mentioned, that glory goes to God. By our works, they see God. They don't see us. They don't see us for some great person. They see God. They see that good work. They see God's, the example that we are, that God has commanded us to be. So how do we do this, though? How do we show that light to the world? By obedience to God. By doing those good works. Of course, we know the work of the church, benevolence, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, there where it talks about benevolence to both the world and to the church, and then evangelism to the world, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 19, where Jesus says to go into all the world and take the gospel to every creature. That is another way that we are supposed to show the light to the world, is by taking actually the gospel. We are supposed to be examples, but we are also to preach the word and take and tell other people about it. By the edification to the church. The church can also see our light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, that edification seen there. And just being a good Christian in general, as we have talked about that, being that example. If you consider Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, those characteristics that we are supposed to have. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it says there, against such there is no law. As we all probably know those verses very well, but those are the characteristics that we're supposed to have. That's what we're supposed to look like. We're supposed to be loving. We're supposed to demonstrate all of these different characteristics in our Christian walk. And by not hiding our light, whenever we do these things, whenever we do a work of love, whenever we do a work of benevolence, we're not trying to It's not that we're trying to look great in front of other people. But whenever we do that work of benevolence, we're not trying to make ourselves look like the world either. Our works will be plainly seen. We cannot be trying to hide God. We cannot be trying to hide our light from the world and our example. Again, as we've talked about earlier, if you go into the workplace or into your everyday lives, maybe you walk into a store and you hear somebody spouting off some foul language, and then you start doing the same, you're not showing that light to the world. You're not showing a godly character. You're hiding your light. And then you're really not giving light at all, are you? Because if you hide it, nobody can see it. So then you're not being that example. They think that you're just another one of the world. Now, if you walked up to them and you told them that you were a Christian, and then you were spouting off that foul language, they wouldn't see any difference. They wouldn't know that you lived any different than them. Maybe they're going to this other denomination over here, and they just don't care about foul language. Well, we're the church, and this denomination over here looks just like us. And that's not what we're supposed to look like. We're supposed to show the light to them so that they'll come to God. So we cannot hide that. We're supposed to shine out our light so that God gets the glory. And so that they get to come to God. So that they obey God. And so that they get salvation. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 19, if you'll turn over there with me. Romans chapter 1. Again, Paul writing here. Beginning in verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So Paul wasn't ashamed of it. Paul wasn't scared to let other people know about Christ. Paul was showing his light to the world and teaching the world. And he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't embarrassed to say that he was a Christian. Now, Paul had done some things in his past life where he was persecuting the church that he then repented of. But whenever he went to the Jews then, he didn't act like that anymore. Then he was a Christian. And he wasn't scared to tell people that he was a Christian. So what we must ask ourselves is, are we scared? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are we scared to show our light to that person in Walmart or maybe in the feed store or something like that? Are we scared to tell people that we're a Christian? We can't be. And really, here in the United States, we have really no fear of actual severe persecution. We might get verbally persecuted, but here in the United States, we really don't have any reason even to be scared of anything. Now, there are people in other countries that actually have a fear of being beaten up or killed, maybe, for their faith. But they can't be ashamed either. And really, we don't have any excuse to be ashamed either here in the United States. So we must not hide our light or be ashamed of that. And so the Bible shows us that importance of being lights to the world. And if we are not shining as lights, as Christians, then we are not fulfilling God's commands. There in Matthew chapter 5, again, we're not fulfilling Jesus' commands as God. And so we must ask ourselves, are we ashamed? Are we doing good works? Or are we doing evil works to hide our light? Are we looking like the world? Are we being those proper lights in the way that God wants us to live? And that's the real question today. That sums it all up. Are we being lights as individuals and as the church? Are we showing the light to God? At this time, we won't be offering a full invitation, but I do want to extend the invitation ideas. If there is anyone that needs prayers, the church is very willing to offer prayers with you to God, to pray with you to God for anything in your life that might need help, and a Christian that needs forgiveness, that prayer is offered for forgiveness too. There in Acts chapter 8, we see Peter and Simon the sorcerer. And Simon the sorcerer, he became a Christian, and then he fell into sin. And Peter told him that he needed to repent and pray. And that's how we get that forgiveness of sins, is through repentance of our sins and prayer for repentance and confession to God. But then there are also maybe those here that haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ. And that is very clearly laid out in the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that you must hear the word of God, and that faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the word of God. So you must hear, and that actually, if you think about it, that makes perfect logical sense, doesn't it? If you don't know what you have to do, then you aren't going to do it. So you must hear the word of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, there the Ethiopian eunuch, the Ethiopian and Philip teaching him, says that he must believe. Philip tells him that he must believe with all his heart, and then he will follow through with the rest of the plan of salvation. So belief in Jesus, belief that Jesus is the Christ, and belief in Jesus' words, that is necessary. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter tells, on the day of Pentecost, Peter tells the Jews there to repent of their sins, that repentance is necessary to turn from living in darkness to turn to obeying God and to living right. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, again, with the Ethiopian and with Philip, after Philip believed, then the Ethiopian made that great confession. He said, "You are the Christ." He said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That same confession that Peter made back in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, that great confession that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is the Christ. And that's the confession that we're supposed to make today also. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, baptism is necessary. Baptism is clearly stated. And unfortunately, there are many people in the world that don't believe that baptism is necessary, but it is directly stated there as necessary for salvation, for the remission of sins. And after you are baptized, that full immersion, then you are now a light in the world. If you live as God, as Christ and as God commanded, then you are that light to the world. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we see that encouragement to be faithful until death, to receive the crown of life. So that is the invitation which we'll be offering here in just a little bit. And I encourage you that if you have any needs, to come forward at that time. But overall, we must ask ourselves, are we being that light to the world? Thank you for your time.